Hello, to members of Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America, this is Pastor Tony. I am trusting all is well with you and your joy of Christ grows deeper by the day. We serve a merciful God who loves us unconditionally and with no respect of persons, whether rich or poor. All praises unto Almighty God. What would life be like if the times we live in were God-friendly? What if prayer was a priority in the halls of government? What if politicians would together seek God's face when political disagreements created a stalemate when hashing out a budget plan, health care, justice, and police reform? What if politicians could openly express their faith in Christ without being castigated by their colleagues? What if there were designated days for national prayer to encourage a collective moving toward God as a nation? Today, matters of religion and faith are expected to remain private, not to be openly discussed. In the Bible, the great show of God's power happened in Egypt. Pharaoh didn't know God, refused to listen to Moses, who said, "Let my people go." Pharaoh was stubborn, so God sent 10 plagues to show him the power of God was not to be mocked. God's power was on display throughout the land of Egypt. Consider this. God told the Israelites they were not to forget what happened in Egypt. Throughout all generations, the Israelites were to talk to their children how God delivered them from Egypt. Parents were to teach their children God's commandments, statutes, and judgments. Failure to do so would lead to forsaking God. Our scripture lesson gives a picture of what happens when a nation forsakes God. Israel failed to teach their children the laws of God. Israel turned from God. Wickedness overtook the land. Those who chose to live godly became fodder to the evildoers. Our text is found in Psalms 36, verses 1 through 12. "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preserveth man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise." Amen. Consider this subject for meditation: spiritual fitness in chaotic times. We'll discuss the reality of wickedness consuming the land. In a wicked land, Christians are called to live upright, love and fear the Lord God. How can we be expected to live upright in these chaotic times? How does our nation avoid forsaking God as Israel did? Why don't our leaders plead with the people to fear God? Is this not the solution to restoring peace in the land? Why not draw nigh to God so God will draw nigh to us? Living upright will take more than being religious. The chaotic times we live in shows that our spiritual state is perilous. No doubt we are living in the last days. In these last days, we see that the pursuit of godliness is almost unknown in this cruel world. We see an obvious breaking away from church and God. Saints live in a dangerous world that needs the influence of faith to bring about lasting spiritual change. How can saints make a spiritual impact in a world that defies God and his precepts? How do saints avoid becoming spiritual casualties? Many are on the verge of turning away from God and settling into spiritual complacency. If you fail to grow in the faith, you will lack strength and resolve to fight temptation that the devil is always hurling toward you. When the devil turns up the heat to divert saints from their spiritual obligations, many will not have the spiritual power to subdue wicked opposition. Saints need spiritual fitness to be able to remain anchored in faith and not be victimized by the spirit of compromise. The devil makes spiritual fitness a necessity. Are you in shape both physically and spiritually? In our world, much emphasis is placed on physical fitness, but spiritual fitness is more vital. Our physical bodies break down through disease and injury, but enduring faith will be our spiritual fitness in chaotic times. We contend with spiritual warfare on a daily basis. The devil is devoted, determined, and disciplined in his campaign to destroy us. The devil employs three battle plans that are aimed to stifle the saints' power, strength, and endurance. The devil beguiles the mind and heart with the influence of popularity and distractions of the worldly mindset. The devil tries to destroy you by flooding your mind with evil imaginations and desires which are deplorable to God. The devil tries to block your mind from grasping God's saving knowledge, which paralyzes your heart and will. The reason why we have chaotic times is because people's minds are blinded by the devil, who is the god of this world. People's minds are regulated by imaginations and desires that defies the call to repentance. And so there is a global ignorance of God that prevails in the land. Saints must dwell in a world that hates godliness. There is little reprieve from constant temptation for those connected to God. Saints also contend with the same burdens of life that unbelievers have. This is like rowing the boat against the tide, zapping your spiritual strength. Spiritual fitness of the saints. The life of faith is one of striving toward godliness. Are you striving in the faith, using your God-given abilities to serve God? Are you devoted to building your spiritual muscles? Do you have enduring spiritual stamina? Do you have spiritual discipline? The world gives people physical food and offers to some nice things to make life pleasant as possible. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." This doesn't mean saints are not to enjoy life, vacations, and whatever material things gain through honest living. The world the saints must reject is a system that depends on schemes of man to get ahead, dishonest dealings, evil gain, injustice, corruption, and the like. The challenge for all saints is to nourish on godliness and not on the sinful things of the world. Jesus instructs saints where to get their spiritual nourishment. Saints are to feed on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Spiritual fitness in this world is like running in a marathon. We must run through the devil's territory to stay close to God and reach heaven. We must be spiritually equipped to run the race God gave us. Saints have the word, prayer, and fellowship to finish the race. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. If one believer crosses the finish line first in a race that another is running, he or she wins the prize, which is Jesus Christ. If another believer finishes the race hours later, he or she wins too. This is a spiritual race. There are many different races, all with the same finish line, Jesus Christ. This race is not like races in the World Olympics, in our colleges, or high schools. This race is the race of faith where Jesus is waiting for you to cross the finish line into his waiting arms. What is this race? One way of explaining this race is to say it is a spiritual marathon. Another way to explain this race is your race is the cross you must bear to reach heaven. We all have a cross to bear, recognized as our spiritual trials. the context in which we must carry on, grow in the faith and knowledge of God, will not be easy. In spite of the miracles we have seen in our lives, we are not at the finish line yet. One believer's race may be to labor in ministry as a parent, a doctor, a teacher, or even endure a health issue. You need spiritual fitness. Job's race was not entirely known to him. God was proving Job this was Job's race. Job didn't know the particulars. Job lost his family, lost his wealth, lost reputation, lost respect and dignity. Job's race was to endure, to continue trusting God, and not be influenced by those who called him evil. And in the end, Job's race was to prove to Satan that with God, he would survive, and all that was lost be restored. In our text, David faces the reality of evil in the world he lived in. Everywhere David looks, there is nonstop evil occurring. Is our world any different? Evil is not generational, regional, nor seasonal. Evil is a constant presence that affects everybody, although in different ways. Obviously, for evildoers, evil is a welcome. Evildoers are not happy until they have done some evil during their day. For some, evil is their fallback in trying to cope with the unpleasant aspects of life. For most, evil is a reaction, and this may become their way of life. What is evil? Evil is any act or event that is contrary to the good and holy purposes of God. Moral evil refers to acts of sin that are contrary to God's holy character and law. Natural evils are harmful or destructive events that occur and negatively affect our life, such as earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, and famines. Moral evil is a contributing factor to the events of natural evil. What could an earthquake, a famine, a virus, or even unemployment have to do with moral evil? Evil and suffering appeared after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Natural evil is an outcome of sin. God may discipline his people collectively and individually using natural evil and pain. God does so to bring them closer to his purpose. God may also use natural evils to judge sin. The Bible gives many examples of God using physical evils to punish individual and national wickedness. This is not to say that all physical evils are the punishment of physical sins. The problem of evil can't be resolved through human intellect or cunning strategies of behaving and thinking. We are all victims of evil because residing in us, saved or not, is the disposition of sin. The chaotic times we live in reflects the forces of evil, moral and natural, how fraught with peril our predicament is. David knows surviving evil requires him to fear God. Moral evil is a choice we make to indulge in, while natural evil is the consequence of our decision to sin and defy God. David denounces evil to give honor to God. David knows he must avoid evil at every cost to walk with God. David is devoted and determined to live the life of godliness. Surviving evil is like running in a cross-country marathon, which requires spiritual fitness. This is a grueling race because you must endure evil influence, sinful distractions, and failures to continue your course to reach Christ. Many start on their course to Christ, but fail to finish because they lack spiritual fitness. Paul knows the struggle of achieving godliness. He says of himself, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Paul's struggle is ours. We live around evil, are influenced by evil every day, and we already have a predisposition to do moral evil. So often we do evil, though we intended to do good. This is why this life requires spiritual fitness. The Word, prayer, and the Holy Spirit will build up your spiritual fitness. But you must be devoted, determined, and disciplined to avoid becoming a defeated victim in these chaotic times. 3 points we need to know if we are to strive for spiritual fitness and persevere. This is the end of part 1. Spiritual Fitness in Chaotic Times.